Monsters. There are those who would search for these galleons and other such wrecks, Captain, and use the treasure to benefit thousands of poor wretches.
And?
I pity them, for since it will never see their hands, it will be of no use to them now.
No use. What makes you think that these riches are wasted if I collect them? Do you really believe that I toil to gather these treasures for my own benefit? Who said that I don't put it to good use? Do you think I am unaware of the suffering beings and the oppressed races living on this earth? The poor people to comfort, wretches to be helped, and victims to be avenged? Don't you understand? I am their Avenger!
I'm afraid luck was against us last night.
I can't believe it. Nemo had to stop at the exact moment we were going to escape.
He had business with his banker.
His banker?
Well, his bank. His wealth is safer in the ocean than it would be in any national treasury.
We'll succeed next time. As soon as tonight, if need be.
What direction is the Nautilus heading?
No idea.
Then we'll find out at noon when they take the position. But the compass was not encouraging. We were headed south-southwest, away from Europe. Soon, there was no land in sight, and hope of escape, for the moment, was shattered. A few hours later, I was paid a visit.
You're not tired, are you, Professor?
Eh? Oh, Captain. No, I...
Good. I know our vigil last night went well into the morning, but I wanted to be sure. Since you are not, might I suggest an unusual excursion?
Of course.
So far you've only visited the ocean depths in sunlight. Would you be interested in visiting them at night?
Indeed, I would.
It will be a tiring excursion. We will need to walk long hours and scale a mountain. The paths we'll be treading are not well looked after.
You've succeeded in increasing my curiosity, Captain. I am ready when you are.
Then come along. We'll put on our diving suits. Come along, Professor. Further? Just keep following the reddish glow.
Of course, Captain, but what is it?
You'll soon see.
Is that the thicket of dead trees up there?
Yes. Mineralized by water. Watch your step.
These rocks around us, they're monumental. There, in that cavity, giant lobster. What is this outrageous world?
In time, Professor. We cannot stop. We're almost at the mountain's crest now.
Ruins. Castles. Temples covered with seaweed and algae. Captain, over there! The mountain. It's a volcano.
Indeed it is.
In the reddish glow we've been following?
Is lava, yes.
It's a city. Some kind of Tuscan architecture, perhaps. Broken down walls, broad streets. There's what looks like the remnants of an aqueduct. And here, the bulge of an acropolis. Captain, where am I?
Atlantis.
Atlantis?
Iriabastasur samte tiam foriru. Now, Professor, what brings you up here?
Confusion, I'm afraid. I came up here expecting daylight, but find myself in total darkness, literally and metaphorically. And I can't see a single star shining, and the night is never such an absolute blackness. Where are we?
Underground.
And still floating?
We are in the very heart of an extinct volcano.
Mon Dieu.
The interior of the volcano was invaded by the sea, following an earthquake of some kind.
How did we...
While you slept, we entered this lagoon through a natural channel.
What brought us here?
This is our home port. Our safe haven. Secure, convenient, secret, sheltered from the wind in every direction.
You're certainly safe here. Who could think to reach you at the center of a volcano? But didn't I spot an opening at the top?
Yes. The crater, formerly filled with lava, steam, and flames, it now lets in this life-giving air we're breathing.
Which volcanic mountain is this, Captain?
Just one of the many strewn about the sea. I discovered it by chance, and it served me well. Here, I am master of the lake.
What is the purpose of this refuge, though? The Nautilus need no port.
No, but it requires electricity to move. Batteries to generate electricity, sodium to feed its batteries, coal to make its sodium, and mines from which to dig its coal. At this very spot, the sea covers entire forests that sank underwater in prehistoric times. Today, they've mineralized, turned to coal, an inexhaustible vein of it.
Then your men work as miners here?
Precisely. And when I burn the coal to produce the sodium, the smoke escaping from the crater creates the appearance of a still active volcano. I'm going to draw upon my stock of sodium. When we've loaded it on board, we will continue our voyage.
How long will that take?
Only a day. So if you wish to go exploring the cavern and circle the lagoon, carpe diem, Professor.
Thank you, Captain. I'm sure my companions will be delighted.
Well, here we are on dry land once again.
Dry land, says you. Besides, we're not on it, we're under it.
Relax, Ned. You should be enjoying this moment. After all, you're off the ship, aren't you?
Cave walls are pretty thick. If we could figure out where we are, we could call for the troops, get rescued, and claim this island for our own, don't you think?
I think we should head back to the dinghy.
Why's that?
Because the tide is coming in. Its stores of sodium refilled, the Nautilus continued its southerly course. For 18 days, there was no sight of Captain Nemo. The ocean was devoid of ships. Then, an announcement.
We will make for the ocean floor.
And so we did. At 13,000 meters, still no sign of the ocean floor. At 14,000, I finally noticed some dark peaks emerging from the waters. We descended lower still to a final depth of 16,000 meters.
Well, Professor?
Incredible. Traveling these deep regions where no man has ever ventured before. And we are reduced to preserving it merely as memory.
Would you like to bring back more than a memory?
What do you mean?
Nothing would be easier than to make a photographic print of this region, Professor.
A camera?
Of course. One well equipped for such a task. Professor, why don't you do the honors?
Thank you, Captain.
Very nicely done. We should surface. I've no wish to push our luck and expose the Nautilus to these pressures for too long.
Then let's go back up.
Hold on.
Ah!
morning, Professor.
You seem in oddly high spirits today, Ned.
And why not, Professor, a fine day like this?
Right.
I just wanted to ask you a question. A simple one.
Ask.
How many men do you think are aboard the Nautilus?
I can't say.
Well, it seems to me that a ship like this wouldn't need a large crew to run it.
True. Under the current conditions, you'd need about 10 men at most to run everything.
Then why should there be any more than that?
Why?
Here's my hunch. The Nautilus isn't just some ordinary ship.
That much is certain.
It's meant to act as a refuge. A place of asylum for people like Captain Nemo there, who have broken or been forced to break their ties with the land.
Perhaps, but the Nautilus can only contain a finite number of people. Could Monsieur not estimate the maximum?
Yeah. Could Monsieur?
Let me think. 100 liters of air per hour per man, 1,500 ton capacity, 1,000 liters a ton, 625 people. But including passengers.
Prisoners.
Sailors and officers, we don't make up a tenth of that number.
And it's still too many people for 3 men to take on by themselves.
So, Ned, I can only recommend patience.
On the other hand, Captain Nemo cannot head south forever. He will have to stop at some point and return to the seas of civilization. And then it will be time to resume Ned Land's plans. May I be so bold as to make an observation, Ned?
Go ahead.
You're thinking of all the things you cannot have. You're haunted by your former life. You're obsessed by your old memories, and it's breaking your heart. What do you have to occupy yourself? You're not a scientist like Monsieur, and you choose not to relish the sea's wonders.
You're right. I'd risk anything to set foot in a tavern back in Quebec. Where the hell are we anyway?
We're continuing south.
South to what? To the pole? That's crazy, and don't you try to deny that, Professor.
What was that?
Sounds like we hit something.
Quick, the port window in the salon.
Look, out the window, ice.
Icebergs.
Straight ahead. But he will stop when he must.
I will not count on that.
Is Monsieur all right?
Concerned. While we pass through all of these icebergs and this pack ice, a wrong turn into one of those could leave us.
No one can cross the ice cap. Maybe Nemo and this ship of his is powerful, but hell's bells, he's not as powerful as nature. And when nature lays down her limits, you stop.
Ah! Monsieur, are you...
I'm all right. I'm...
Good heavens, we're caught. We can't go back. We can't go forward. And at the rate new ice is forming...
So, Mr. Land, you don't believe the Nautilus will be able to free itself?
Nor do I, Captain. We cannot count on the ice breaking up.
You'll always be the same, Professor. You see only obstacles and inconveniences. The Nautilus will free itself, and it will go still further.
Further south?
To the pole.
Then why don't we break the ice cap? Blow it up! And give the ship wings so it can pass over all other hindrances.
Over? No, Professor, not over. Under.
Under? Of course.
The only difficulty will be to remain underwater for several days without replenishing our air supply.
That won't be a problem at all. Not with the vast air tanks the ship possesses.
Fine reasoning, Professor. But since I do not wish to be accused of temerity, I'm submitting all of your objections to you in advance.
I...
Very well.
Captain?
Prime the pumps. Force as much air into the tanks as you can.
Aye.
Now that I understood.
If you'll excuse me.
I pity the both of you, Professor. You and the captain.
But we are going to the pole, Ned. We will make it.
But there's no way we'll be coming back.
Tank opener.
Air tanks full. Stand by to dive. 5 degrees down. Dive. Course steady. Set depth to 800 meters.
Aye.
What's... We're listing to starboard.
We hit something.
Monsieur, what happened?
I'm going to find out, Conseil. Follow me, both of you. We'll make for the salon. An incident, Captain?
No, Professor. An accident this time.
Serious?
Perhaps. The Nautilus has run aground.
Run aground?
An enormous block of ice. A whole mountain has turned over. As it fell, it struck the Nautilus, then, gliding under its hull, raised it with irresistible force, bringing it into less dense strata, where we are now lying on our side.
Can't we free the Nautilus by emptying the tanks to restore equilibrium?
We are doing so now, but so is the block of ice below us. And unless something stops its ascension, our condition will remain unchanged.
Captain Nemo never took his eyes off the pressure gauge. Suddenly...
We've straightened out.
Quite. It appears that our iceberg has found support on the sidewalls of the other ice caps. It should stay in this position now, and we should be free to continue movement momentarily.
Will we float?
Of course. And now, if you'll pardon me...
That could have been a sticky wicket, no?
Between that possibly being crushed, or at best imprisoned, between blocks of ice, and then the distinct probability of our not being able to refresh our air supply, I would say it was indeed.
What was that?
Oh, the cutwater must have hit a block of ice. Navigation in this tunnel can't be easy. I'm sure that...
We've changed direction. We are reversing.
The tunnel must have no way out on that side.
Then...
We merely head backward and leave by the southern exit. Nothing simpler. Come, Ned. Try to remain positive about this.
They think something interesting, monsieur.
Yes. Very interesting.
Monsieur is reading his own book.
My own? Oh. Well, perhaps I too am a little on edge. Nevertheless, let's stay together until we find our way out of this cul-de-sac,
As monsieur pleases, we'll...
Now what?
Here comes Captain Nemo.
What is it, Captain?
The route is blocked to the south as well. With the iceberg overturned, every way out has been closed to us.
We're trapped? Surrounded by an impenetrable wall of ice?
Yes. Now in our present circumstances, we are faced with two ways of dying. We will either be crushed or asphyxiated.
I don't see much danger of the latter, Captain. Not with full air tanks.
True, but the reserves, when we switch to them, will provide us with only 48 hours worth of air.
Then we'll have to make sure we've escaped within 48 hours.
My thoughts exactly.
We're going to attempt to cut through the wall that surrounds us. I'm going to ground the Nautilus on the lower surface of the iceberg, and we'll carry out soundings to determine which wall is the thinnest.
Well, mon ami, I'm counting on your courage and energy.
I'm ready to do anything that'll keep us all alive. And I'm as good with a pickaxe as I am with a harpoon. So, if the captain needs me, I'm at his service.
We worked in shifts chopping away at the ice that blocked our escape. The vivifying qualities of the air aboard were considerably reduced. And in 12 hours, we had only removed a slice of ice a meter thick. At our present work rate, it'll take us 5 days and 4 nights of work to clear enough to make our way out.
5 days? We've only got 2 days of air left in the tanks. And you're forgetting that once we're out of his cage of ice, we'll still be under the ice cap and unable to surface for air for a couple of hours at least.
All true, Ned. It will be close, that's certain. Come on, Conseil, we should head back out.
Of course, monsieur.
Something's wrong. Captain Nemo.
What is it, Professor?
The side walls of the iceberg, they're getting closer. It's solidifying.
I know. I can see no way of stopping it. So we'll have to work faster than the ice can solidify.
would simply have to finish first.
Finish first? I can't breathe. Everything's...
Get a hold of yourself, man. Now listen to me. We cannot rely on help from nature, only from ourselves. There remain just 4 meters of water fore and aft of the Nautilus. The freezing is gaining on us in all directions.
How much is left in the ship's tanks?
They shall be empty the day after tomorrow.
There must be a way to expedite the process, Captain. Something to...
No, just axes and our resolve. That will... Boiling water.
Boiling water?
Yes. We are enclosed in a relatively confined space. Would not jets of boiling water, constantly injected by the pumps, raise the temperature and thus slow down the refreezing of the ice?
We must try.
And let us try. Rin al shipo! Chise elvi! Back to the ship, Professor. Quickly. The distillation apparatus is... are now filled up with water. Professor, go to that lever over there. When I give the signal, we'll pull those levers down simultaneously. They'll send all the heat from the electric batteries through to the water. Now!
Look, the thermometer... The water outside is heating up. We'll be freed in short order.
We won't be crushed to death at any rate. Now we need only worry about asphyxiation. Remain aboard, Professor. You're weak with fatigue. My crew will attend to the rest.
How much? How much more ice? Conseil!
Monsieur! Monsieur! Wake up, monsieur!
Conseil, what? Is the professor all right?
No. He needs air.
Come on! Let's move him up closer to one of the vents.
What are they planning to do now?
We've finished chopping! Nemo was going to break through the ice. Hold fast to something.
Can they do it?
Don't know, but let's hope so.
Stand by engines. Full ahead. Faster. We're out. Pull ahead. 4 degrees down.
Captain Nemo, have we...
We've broken through. All that's left is for us to get to a clearing in time to surface. Let us hope we make it there before we've died.
Merci, merci. My friends, I am in your debt. Both of you.
And that's a debt I plan on collecting, Professor.
Eh?
Oh, yes. I'll collect when I drag you with me when I escape this damnable ship. Where do you think I'll head now, the North Pole?
I should think one pole is enough.
So it was that we found ourselves passing through the islands of Tierra del Fuego. And observed otters feasting on crabs and cuttlefish. By evening, we approached the rough summits of the Falkland Islands and sighted beautiful jellyfish. One of our nets had brought in a type of flat ray. It attempted to escape, but Conseil, keen on the fish, took hold of it and...
Hey!
That was a cumana, Conseil. You're lucky it didn't shock you to death.
Oh, monsieur, believe me. I'll have my revenge on that creature.
How?
By eating it.
Naturally.
This fishing ended our sojourn on the shores around the Amazon, and after nightfall, we once again headed for the open sea.
What are you looking at, Professor?
The pressure meter. According to this, we're about 1,500 meters below sea level.
So? We've gone deeper.
Yes, but...
Hey! Something big just moved out there!
Eh? I see nothing, Ned. Nothing except those caves down there. Probably the homes of resting squid.
Yes, but no squid could have moved the way I just saw.
I don't know, Ned. There are tales near Tenerife, for example, of Captain Bouillet, who attempted to bring a giant squid aboard. It was so heavy that the rope snapped in two, damaging the bow of the vessel. They proposed to call it Bouillet Squid.
Out the window. If that creature there isn't Bouillet Squid, then it must be one of his brothers.
Good God!
It's coming right toward us! Ah! Ah!
Monsieur, look at the other viewport!
Mon Dieu!
I count seven! How many does Monsieur count?
Seven!
They're biting down on the hull!
The strength of all those tentacles could crush us like an egg if applied correctly.
We've stopped moving.
I'll lay 5-1 that one of those beasts has grabbed onto the propeller!
Monsieur, where are you going?
To the bridge.
Let's go with him.
A most curious collection of squid.
Indeed. And what are you going to do?
We're going to fight them hand to hand.
Hand to hand?
The propeller has stopped. The mandibles of one of them has become entangled in the blades. That is why we cannot move.
How are you going to fight them?
On the surface.
It will be difficult.
Yes, the electric bullets are powerless against their soft flesh. Bloi choi balastro, kun venigu la shipanaro.
Aye.
We'll have reached the surface in a few minutes. Come with me to the map room.
If your electric bullets are powerless, how will you fight them?
With our hatchets.
And with harpoons, monsieur. That is... if you won't refuse my help.
I will accept it, Mr. Land.
The crew is gathered, Captain.
Gentlemen, we're about to come into contact with one of the most dangerous creatures known to the oceans. Don't let the tentacles touch you. They'll hang on to anything till the death. Aim directly between their eyes. Stand by! All clear!
I don't understand. There's nothing here.
Form a circle.
Maybe they all fell off when the ballast blew.
No! They're out here, friend!
Oh, on the car!
That's French. That crewman, he spoke...
Get down, Professor!
Look! The tentacles wrapped around that man! Over there!
It's pulling itself up on deck!
Go! Go! Cut them off! Cut them!
Another one!
And a third!
Kunsei, grab that axe!
Me!
Start hacking at the tentacles! The men are getting knocked off deck! Professor, help them up!
Yes, yes, of course!
Monsieur, look out!
Huh? Saved my life.
Atta boy.
Mr. Land, throw me another harpoon.
Here!
Another one! Careful, Eats! The poor soul.
Good shot, Ned.
Throw me another harpoon, mate.
Chop the tentacles off first. There they are.
It's like the either of me. Kill one, another one takes its place.
Mr. Land, take the one to starboard.
Aye. It's got me!
Ned!
It's got me! Someone!
Hang on, man, we're coming!
Mr. Land! Make sure you don't hit me with that harpoon, Captain!
Stay calm and...
He missed!
Another! Quickly now!
Monsieur, I'm blinded! In shooting ink! Quickly clear your eyes, Conseil!
This time, I'll...
Now, Captain, now!
Conseil, your axe!
Here!
Hold still, Mr. Land. I'll have you free from the tentacle in... Service is rendered, Mr. Land.
I... Captain, behind you! Pass me that harpoon. Fingers crossed.
Keep your eyes closed. Eat.
Monsieur, they're leaving.
Are you all right, Captain?
I'll be fine. Let's go below. Tend to the injured.
The sea was filled with blood and ink, and Captain Nemo, covered with the stuff, sat and stared at the waves, tears flowing from his eyes. Could not help but be haunted by the screams of that first crewman, his cries in French. So, I had a fellow countryman aboard. How many others, I wondered. We traveled along the Gulf Stream, wandering through areas of frequent storms. It has been nearly 7 months since our last news from land. Captain Nemo's mood has changed since our encounters with the squid. And I must confess, my own enthusiasm for the voyage was beginning to falter.
You. What do you want?
To speak with you, Captain.
I am busy, Monsieur.
Monsieur, I have come to speak to you about a matter that will admit no delay.
Oh? And what is that, sir?
I...
Here, Professor.
What is it? It's written in French.
French, German, Latin, English, Polish, Hindi, Russian, and my own language, which you have heard so often while aboard.
What is it?
This book contains the sum of my studies of the sea. It will not perish with me. This manuscript, signed with my name, containing the story of my life, will be shut up in a small floating capsule. The final survivor of the Nautilus will hurl this case into the sea, and it will go whither it is borne by the waves.
Captain, I can only approve of your intentions. The results of your studies must not be lost. But the means you employ seem to me rather primitive.
Oh?
Who knows where the winds will carry this capsule, and in whose hands will it fall? Could you not use some other means to bring it to the world? Why don't you or one of your men?
No, never.
I am ready to keep this manuscript secret. And if you will restore to us our liberty...
Your liberty?
That's what I came here to talk to you about. For 7 months we have been here on board. And I must ask you today, on behalf of my companions and myself, if your intention is to keep us here indefinitely.
I will answer you today as I did 7 months ago. He who enters the Nautilus is fated to never leave it.
Then this is slavery, plain and simple.
Call it what you please.
But the slave has a right to regain his liberty.
And who has denied you that right? Have I even attempted to chain you with oaths?
Monsieur, to return to the subject, a second time would be distasteful to both of us. Like you, I'm willing to live in obscurity in the fragile hope of one day bequeathing the results of my labors. In this way, I admire you. But there are other aspects of your life that are shrouded in secret that I and my companions have no part. Every man, by virtue of his very humanity, deserves fair treatment. Surely you realize this. Have you considered how a love of freedom and a hatred of slavery could lead to plans for vengeance in a temperament like Ned's? What he might think or do?
I did not seek out Ned Land's company, Professor. It is not for my pleasure that I keep him on board.
And yet, you saved his life without a second thought. Clearly, there is still some shred of humanity in you. You still want to believe in the good of man.
I have nothing more to say to you, Professor. Let the first time you've come to discuss this also be the last, or I shan't even listen come a second time.
I understand. While a terrifying hurricane raged above, the Nautilus cruised safely in the peace below. And with the storm, we were pushed eastwards away from New York and Long Island, passing an ocean floor that resembled a battle sea. Ships lost at sea from causes unknown. Storms, disasters. The Nautilus cruised among the wrecks as though examining the dead. On the 31st of May, while heading back to the seas of Europe, the Nautilus made a series of odd circlings as though looking for something. I found Captain Nemo in the salon.
You see it, Professor? That glorious wreck?
It must have sunk stern first, and have been here for a long time to be so encrusted by limestone.
It was once the Marseillais. In 1794, it was given a new name. 74 years ago, to this day, on this spot, this ship lost two of its masts in a heroic battle. The remains of her crew decided to scuttle it instead of surrender. It disappeared under the waves with a cry of, "Long live the Republic!"
The Vengeur?
Yes, Professor. The Vengeur. A fine name. Excuse me.
What's out there, Professor?
The Vengeur.
Amazing.
We're surfacing, Professor. Professor? What's the matter with you?
I'm suddenly filled with a strange dread. I cannot explain it, but something is going to happen.
Monsieur?
Just a feeling, Conseil. But... What was that?
Cannon fire!
Cannon? Who could be firing upon?
What kind of ship is it, Ned?
The rigging's... no masts... It's a warship. I'm almost sure of it. Oh, how I hope it'll come at us and sink this damned prison once and for all!
What harm could that ship possibly do to the Nautilus, Ned? Will it attack while we are beneath the waves? Cannonade us at the bottom of the sea?
Ned, what country does this ship belong to?
I don't know.
You don't?
She flies no flag, Professor. Shows no colors. But she's a warship, all right. There's a long pennant fluttering from her mainmast.
It's coming closer. It must be going at full steam.
If that ship comes within a mile of us, I'm going to leap right into the water, and I'd advise the both of you to do the same.
They're firing at us.
Good for them. Keep at it, fellows.
Ned.
They've recognized your narwhal, Professor, so they're firing.
But surely they can see that there are men standing atop it.
Then perhaps that is why they are firing upon us.
What is it, monsieur?
I just had a realization. That night in the Indian Ocean, when he locked us in our cabins, he drugged our food and then ran his ship through, just as he has before. Perhaps Captain Farragut sussed out the truth. Perhaps the Nautilus has been hunted all this time.
And those men on that ship, that would be our friends. Right now, they are...
Well, we've got to do something. Let's signal them. Conseil, give me that handkerchief.
Hey!
Over here! We're friends!
Ned, Captain Nemo is...
Let him come! Hey! Come on! Let's...
You impudent wretch. Do you want to have your pathetic carcass tied to the cutwater? Ah! Ship of an accursed nation, you do know me! I do not need your colors to identify you!
You three, get below. To your quarters, now.
Are you going to attack that ship?
No. I am going to sink it.
You can't.
Do not take it upon yourself to judge me, monsieur. The attack has come from them, and the response will be terrible. Get below.
Go on. I'll be done in a moment.
I told you to get below, Professor.
I cannot let you do this, Captain. You've so much to give to the world. You'd be nothing more than a hypocrite.
No, I am the law. I am justice. I am the oppressed, and they are the oppressor. Everything I loved and cherished, my country, my wife, my children, my mother and father, I watched them all perish. Their faces as they were knotted, axed, raped, and I, powerless to do anything. Their screams, their cries are etched everlasting in my memory. And they are dead because of men like the ones on that warship. All that I hate is there. Yes! Waste your useless shells! You shall not escape the Nautilus's wrath!
You murderer!
You call this murder? I've seen murder. I've seen it on the faces of more dead than you can possibly imagine. There is nothing left for me on the world of the surface, monsieur. And those who would carry death from shore to shore must pay for their sins. Get below!
We're leaving.
Now! It's about time. What's the ship?
I don't know. But they will be sunk before nightfall. It may be better to die with them than be accomplices in a retaliation.
That's my opinion, too. Let's get ready.
Up ahead! Collision speed! Three degrees down! Take the wheel.
Aye.
Look at their sink. We should close the screen over the portal.
They didn't even stand a chance. Look at that ship. Filled with sailors. Men like me, Professor.
I know, Ned.
Go to your quarters.
With pleasure.
Conseil.
I'll go after him.
Leave me be, Professor.
My eyes followed Captain Nemo as he entered his cabin. He went to that small music box and took out the photograph of the woman and two children. He looked at them for a few moments, stretched out his arms to them, then knelt down sobbing. Noting our position on the map, I realized we were passing towards the end of the English Channel, heading for the Arctic Seas. At an incomparable speed.
Hey, Professor.
Ned?
Come on, we're escaping.
When?
Now! All surveillance aboard ship just stopped. Everyone looks stupefied.
Where are we?
In sight of land. I caught sight of it through the fog this morning, about 20 miles east.
What country is it?
Does it matter?
All right. Even if the sea should swallow us up, we're leaving.
The sea is bad, aye. But only 20 miles in the dinghy doesn't scare me. I've even snuck out some food and water without the crew noticing.
Very well. I'll follow you.
If I'm caught, Professor, you know I'll fight back. I'll force them to kill me.
Then we die together, Ned.
All right. Conseil and I'll be waiting for you at the boat in 15 minutes.
Good luck, Ned.
We'll all need it. See you soon, Professor.
My notes. I must take my notes. And these sketches. Eh? Nemo's organ. On the far end of the salon, I saw him transfixed at his organ. I could catch his reflection in the mirror. He looked more like a ghost than anything else.
Enough! 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 The Maelstrom!
Maelstrom.
Conseil, will you hand me that...
We've got to go. Now!
Straight away, Professor. I've just finished loading the dinghy and...
No, you don't understand. The ship's headed straight for the Maelstrom.
What? Get in! We can still get out alive!
No, I forgot!
Where are you going?
His records! The book containing all of his secrets and discoveries. It can't be lost.
There's no time, Professor!
But...
Ah! It's too late. Come on, up the ladder, both of you. We need to hold on. We can still get out alive.
Undo the last bolt, Ned. Let us die far from the Nautilus.
You sure, Professor? We might have a better chance of staying in one piece if we stay attached.
I'm sure, Ned.
What about you, Conseil?
As Monsieur pleases.
All right, Lewis. Here goes. I'm unscrewing the last bolt. Hold on to something. We're going to surface quickly. Well, we're away!
How long until we surface?
Another 20 seconds or...
Oh, monsieur! Monsieur!
Start putting that iron spark. Stay with us, Professor. We're so close. Hey, Professor.
Monsieur, are you all right?
I'm fine. Oh, my head, Conseil. Ned, where?
On one of the Latofen Islands.
Well, what now?
For the moment, we can't return to France. It is so good to see both of you. Ned, Conseil, thank you. Thank you.
We only did what we had to.
Look at that sunrise. Has Monsieur ever seen anything more beautiful?
No, I have not seen anything more beautiful. Thus ends the voyage under the seas. What passed during that night? How the boat escaped from the eddies of the Maelstrom. How Ned Land, Conseil, and myself ever came out of the gulf. I cannot tell. I revise my record of these adventures once more. Not a fact has been omitted. Not a detail exaggerated. Shall I be believed? I do not know. And it matters little after all. What I now affirm is that I have a right to speak of these seas under which, in less than 10 months, I have crossed 20,000 leagues in that submarine tour of the world, which has revealed so many wonders. But what has become of the Nautilus? Did it resist the pressure of the Maelstrom? Does Captain Nemo still live? And does he still follow under the ocean those frightful retaliations? Or did he stop after the last hecatomb? I hope that this powerful vessel has conquered the seas at its most terrible gulf, and that the Nautilus has survived where so many other vessels have been lost. If it be so,
If Captain Nemo still inhabits the ocean, his adopted country, may hatred be appeased in that savage heart. May the contemplation of so many wonders extinguish forever the spirit of vengeance. May the judge disappear and the philosopher continue the peaceful exploration of the sea. If his destiny be strange, it is also sublime. Have I not understood it myself? Have I not lived 10 months of this unnatural life? And to the question asked by Ecclesiastes 3,000 years ago, that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out?
You've been listening to 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne, dramatized for audio by Dennis Cordell. Starring J.T. Turner as Captain Nemo, Alan Mayo as Professor Aronnax, Joseph Zamparelli as Conseil, and Robin Gabrielli as Ned Land. Featured were John Pease as Meyer and Lincoln Clark as Captain Farragut. Also heard were Anastas Varinos, Sam Joyle, Jerry Robbins, David Murgo, and David Ault. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was produced by Seth Adam Scher, with music by Jeffrey Gage. Executive producer was Mark van der Berg, and the production was directed by Jerry Robbins. For the Colonial Radio Theatre on the Air, this is Dan Powell speaking.
This has been a production of the Colonial Radio Theater on the air.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.